You're gonna forgive me when you find out the wonderful thing I'm doing for you. Mm-hmm. See, there's this great woman who lives in my building. She's beautiful and funny.
No, just stop right there, Roz. I do not go out on blind dates. They're demeaning and a hideous waste of time. No, thank you. No.
It's not for you, it's for your father.
Oh, what time should he pick her up?
Okay, that's from Frasier. Notice the double standard there, that for himself, he's already concluded that he never wants to go on a blind date. So you and I can probably guess that he had some bad experiences on blind dates. I want to put in a plug for blind dates. My husband and I met on a blind date, and my husband dated a lot, and you never know who you'll meet. Now, if you know the person setting you up on the blind date has very bad taste, they always like drug addicts or alcoholics, then yes, that would be a hideous experience. So you don't want to do that. But you want to, there's nothing wrong with blind dates, and sometimes they pay off remarkably well, as in my own case. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. My number, if you want to call me, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I can answer any questions you have, any personal questions you have that you might want to ask a counselor or a therapist. My number, jot it down, is toll free 1-877 Dr. Kenner. That's toll free 1-877-DRKENNER. And right now I'm going to turn to a question I got from Seri. And Seri is from, she's from Indonesia. Now, it's a longer letter, it's an email, but listen to her thought processes as I read it. Listen to how the way she's overloading her mind and how she'll never be able to problem solve by doing this to herself, and see what direction you would take her in. Dear Dr. Kenner, I'm sitting here by myself in a large computer room at school, and I need to study for my exams tomorrow, but I'm doing nothing. Yeah, I'm sick of my life. Actually, no, I'm not. Yeah, that's me. I'm very weird. I've been studying abroad for about 8 years now. Actually, I am sick of being alone. When I meet new people, I always try to be cool and harsh. Actually, I'm anxious and scared. I started to study abroad at the age of 12. My mom sent me to Malaysia to study. Yeah, it was close to my country, Indonesia, and I could go back whenever I want. But I felt deeply scared. My mother sent me away when there was unrest in Indonesia. I then went to study in Beijing and then to Canada. I am not a great student because I'm careless and lazy. I am in the university in Canada now and failing some courses. I'm too afraid to ask the professors for help. I know I'm not prepared for the outside world. Now I underline that as significant. I think that's what's driving this. My older sister graduated last year from England with a degree in pharmacology after her 10 years of study abroad, and now she works in the noodle factory with Dad. She knows my dad paid for all of her living, and now it's time for her to pay him back by helping him out. She and my dad are always fighting in the factory, and Mom always fights with Dad. Mom is so terribly unhappy, but she'll never divorce my dad, even though he calls her evil. Dad has a temper, he's depressed, and he explodes. He was even thrown in jail for a short time after cheating in his business. Mom, Dad, and my sister are so unhappy. I want to have a relationship with somebody, a man, but I'm afraid any man I would meet would want to divorce me because I'm always changing my behavior. I want to date an Indonesian man and live in Indonesia, but Mom wants me to marry a foreigner and stay in Canada. My first love in high school hurt me, and now I find it hard to trust anybody. My confidence is low. I want to change my thinking about my life. I want to wake up, work hard, and not be lazy, and have my confidence. I want to work and have money to be on my own, travel and see the world. I want to make my family proud of me. I want to major in psychology. I want to be like a baby because the baby has very simple thinking. I want someone who tries to reach the skies, whatever will happen. Please help me, Seri. Seri, You're facing major life decisions, and some of those decisions were made for you before, when you were very, very young, at the age of 12. And now I'm assuming that Mom hates her life. She's married to a man who calls her evil. She's stuck in Indonesia, a country of unrest. And I'm assuming that out of benevolence, she wanted you to have a better life, and she wanted to vicariously live through you to see you happier. Now, you say you're not prepared for the outside world, and you've got mixed messages throughout your whole note that you sent me. You're calling yourself a slew of names: weird, careless, lazy, scared, lacking confidence, and you're wanting simple things, a simple life as if you were a baby again. Notice that you've been separated from your mother, you were rejected by your first love, and so you might have some very deep-seated fears about being able to make it on your own. But you've got this wonderful positive side that I hear throughout, Sari. You want a better life. You want to do better in school. That's why you're emailing me. You want to gain your confidence and marry a man who's obviously better than Dad, major in psychology, and reach for the skies. But here's the problem. You've got conflicting goals. Your mind is so overloaded that it's hard to give yourself any clear direction. Think about what happened with your sister. She studied very hard for 10 years, earned a very difficult degree, a degree in pharmacology, only to do what? To come back, feel beholden to your dad, and to live trapped in a noodle factory, a small town noodle factory, with a family who is always fighting. So is that what your education brings you? If that's the end of the road, how can you ever get motivated to study? Now, I think part of you is missing legitimately Indonesia and your family life and a simple life, but I don't see that as a solution to your loneliness. I think part of you wants to travel the world and have an invigorating life and not to have to dutifully repay your dad for what he's done. So I want to spend a moment on that. I think what you owe your father is a happy life, and I think what you owe yourself is a happy life, which means if it's not working in a noodle factory, don't go there. Major in psychology, travel the world as you want, meet a loving partner. You need to have a very clear path for your own future. Don't call yourself weird and lacking in confidence. You want to build on your self-assertiveness. Make a list of your strengths that you have, your willingness to reach out to me. Reach out to a counselor at the university to help you with some skills at school. When you've got your clarity on your goals, Sari, when you integrate them so that they don't clash, you know, you don't have the goal of going back to the noodle factory and curling up like a baby and also being a world traveler. Make your goals very clear to yourself by the standard of your happiness, not by what Dad wants. Dad's not a happy person, not by what Mom wants. Mom may want your best, but not until you want your best should you act. And that's the way to make it your own life, your own success, and earn your own confidence that way. So I hope that helps you out. You can always email me back and let me know how things go. I'm Dr. Alan Kenner, and coming up, we've got several different things. What happens if a friend lies to you, a very good friend lies to you about some serious things? Imagine concealing that you're married and you have kids. And also, later on in the show, I'll be talking with someone who served in Iraq, and he'll be talking about his personal experiences, the anxiety of waiting to go over to Iraq, the worried about family members, and what it's like to come back from Iraq. And so I'm Dr. Alan Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness, and of course, your phone calls take priority. Toll free 1-877-DR-KENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Modern life is often hectic, especially for couples with children, and even more so for dual career couples with children. It's nearly impossible to become sexually aroused when you are exhausted. A Newsweek article on sex and marriage told the story of Maddie, who had enjoyed sex with her husband Roger, but her increasingly busy life, children, career, and so on, left her too tired for intimacy. In an effort to be romantic, Roger would typically light a candle in the bedroom, but Maddie told Newsweek Newsweek, I would see it and say, oh God, not that candle. It was just the feeling that I had to give something I didn't have. Sex was low on Maddie's priority list and had become a duty, an unwanted obligation. Being intimate out of self-sacrificial duty when you're tired is guaranteed to take the joy out of sex.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.